life experiment. Have you ever wondered if work-life balance is really possible for a lawyer? We have too. So let's put it to the test. Join us as we experiment with proven tips and tricks to address everyday lawyer problems. I am Anya Smirnova.
And I am Frida Levitsky. Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Lawyer Life Experiment. April is the month of stress awareness, and we thought it would be a great idea to focus on stress during our episode today. So Stress Awareness Month has been held every year since 1992, with the aim of increasing public awareness around stress, what causes it, and ways that we can find to help ourselves when we're struggling with it. And as lawyers, stress is a common feature of our day-to-day lives, both in the office, but also trying to juggle the rest of our lives outside of the office. So over the next couple of weeks, we thought that we would focus on two areas which often cause huge levels of stress for lawyers. The first of those is going to be around business development. But before we jump into that topic, let's just quickly reflect back on last week's experiment on what makes a good leader. I don't know about you, Anya, but I have had a lot of thoughts that have come up since the last experiment, and I'd love to know what's come up for you.
Same here, Frida. Loads of conversations led me to think back to our podcast and the discussion, and the last one being around the UK government announcing an invitation for the flexible working to become the default option to all employees. And this was announced at the same time as the UK announced the roadmap to going out of lockdown. And this was a brilliant announcement. From the practical perspectives, though, I felt there are loads of questions that both employers and employees will have. And I think that's where this skillful leadership and humane leadership, the leadership that focuses on the person, will become instrumental. The world is moving towards a more individualized ways of working, which are decentralized, de-verticalized, if that's even a word, when every employee will have to take more responsibility as to how they work, but also team managers and leaders will have to allow this flexibility to happen and will have to work with it. So being with other people and allowing this flexibility will be a skill to learn.
Absolutely. It sounds like adaptive and creative leadership styles are going to need to come into play. That's a really interesting introduction from the UK government side. I hadn't heard about it being down in South Africa, so it's quite interesting to hear about it. What came up for me was I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole into going and looking at female leadership and the progress of female leadership over the last couple of decades, because, you know, this isn't a new subject area, and good leadership, we know what women bring to the table. I went and did a lot of this research, which has led to me producing with my co-writer, Alicia Koch, a series on female leadership, because the numbers are still abysmal. There are not enough. There is certainly nowhere near equality of female leaders in senior positions in the workforce. I was really quite surprised, and not in a good way. Yeah, it was definitely an enlightening topic to discuss with you, which has certainly had a trigger effect onto lots of other thoughts that have come up. Anyway, on that note, let's get on to today's topic about stress caused by business development. When we started talking about this in our pre-notes a few weeks ago, what came up for me was that initial introduction to business development in the workplace. And I don't know about you, but I remember when business development was introduced onto our appraisal forms, and it became something that you got scored against. And as a junior and a mid-level associate, I just remember thinking, oh, I don't know anything about business development. How am I? This is not law. What, how? All of the questions that come flooding into my mind. How am I going to be good at this? And more importantly, how, as a hyperachiever, how am I going to score highly on this? And I remember feeling really overwhelmed, really lost,
didn't feel like I had any of the skills to market or business development, because it's certainly not something that was taught in university, and really felt quite overwhelmed by the fact that this was now something that was on my appraisal.
Yes, I remember that becoming a part of the billable hours target as well. And it felt that, that's cool. We can do some business development and go on a networking event, but then feel like a fraud at a networking event, or not really knowing how to start a conversation or how to join a group. And I remember our networking training with dots showing you how to approach different groups of people, which was a good training, actually. When you see people standing in a closed group, it's better to leave them to their conversation. It's probably a private conversation. And when a group looks more open, free to approach that group or approach people who are standing on their own. And it made all sense at the moment, but applying it in practice still felt quite hard.
I'm amazed you got training. When did you get training with networks and dots and things? I don't remember getting any of that style of training when it came to business development.
So obviously it became much more important. Or probably practice showed that people needed that training.
Yeah, that's quite a possibility. I think for me, it was particularly at that younger level. Business development for law firms tended to be around drinks. It tended to be in that, an event environment. So it could have been a breakfast, but at the junior level, it tended to be more towards drinks. And I remember talking about this earlier in this year, that Singapore was the first place that I really got introduced to business development. Our main partner at the time had said, right, everybody, all of you out to, come on, you're all coming. You've all got to be there. I've got to show up for the clients that are coming. There's loads of really important clients going to be there, which doesn't do anybody self-confidence any good telling them that they're really important. Don't lose them. So for me, what it was 1,000 questions coming up in my brain around, why would anyone want to talk to me? The partners are there. They're going to want to talk to the partners. What have I got to say? I don't want to sound stupid. I don't want to be an embarrassment on the firm. What if I say something that's completely wrong because I feel I've got trapped in the corner and I've over-talked, which is what I do in a difficult situation, and come up with stuff that I've just made up off the top of my head. And, the constant questions that keep going on and on around in your brain as you're in this situation. I mean, quite frankly, the anxiety builds, sweaty palms, heart rate's going, your voice ends up in the top of your throat instead of down in your diaphragm. And we give off this nervousness in those situations unless we learn how to control them.
Absolutely. Another thing that this reminds me of is especially when you work in a large firm, you feel there is always work on your desk when you come to the office. So you don't quite connect business development with you having work. It feels like there is always a stream of work, and there is this reliance on existing clients, even at a higher level, and probably lack of realization, really. You probably understand why business development is there, but you haven't really felt it on yourself, how your actions can influence you getting the right type of projects, or projects that are interesting or that are profitable, bonuses. In hindsight, I understand that I only truly felt the power of business development when I became self-employed. And I think that's partly the thing with big corporations, that you feel that when you get to more senior level, and especially to the partner level, when you have a direct relation between those targets and you getting the business and your pay, and that's why all those goals and trainings come into play, because you realize that other members of the team might not have this perspective.
That's a really good point. And it possibly is even harder for people in private practice, lawyers in private practice, going into that partnership. So using that thought process is that our business development isn't really for the junior mid-level section. When that pressure comes on to be developing your business plan and your client profile, prospective client profile, and you start going, actually, this requires business development, there is that big launch into marketing and, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Whereas if you actually step out as a individual business owner, you've kind of gone, okay, I know I've got to get my head around this because I've got to sell myself somehow. Sell myself, and I use that word very loosely because we'll talk about that in a minute. There is an assumed understanding that you have kind of grasped the fact you've got to sell your own business, whereas I don't think you necessarily do as an associate until you get to that partnership level.
Yes, it's the perspective of a paycheck, which is, it's normal. It's to have this habit of having a paycheck and having the work coming in. And yeah, it's about stepping into a different perspective.
I love that. The perspective of a paycheck. I've never really thought about it like that, but that's spot on. So the benefit, we may as well talk about the benefits of actually learning development and seeing why it is such an important thing to do at a younger age. So it's less scary when we get to the older ages and the higher levels and more senior positions. And before looking at what you can do, it's worth acknowledging some of the fears that we are actually processing as a result of business, having to do business development. For me, I think the biggest thing around business development for me was I don't want to be that sleazy, greasy-haired car salesman that I watched. I think the first time I watched a sleazy, greasy-haired car salesman, say that quickly, was in Matilda. I think it was Matilda and Roald Dahl, where he was that wheeler dealer and he was pouring all sorts of bad things and trying to into the petrol and trying to change the how far the car had gone. I don't know the words for cars. and it was, I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, you know, he's a bad person and they lie. And I think I've taken that with me, certainly in my younger years, of this is what sales, business development, marketing's all about. I don't want to be approached by someone who's selling me something that isn't good for a price that is well overpriced. I want to be paying good value for my money. I want to feel as though I'm in control of this decision rather than having something pushed on me that I don't want. And as we've got into later life and into practice, we've all had horrible experiences of poor networking, poor sales. We've been at networking events where people have come up to our groups, as you talk about your little dots around the table, we've had people who've come and joined. They've literally spoken for a minute about what they do. They've handed you your business card and then they walked off. Absolutely no interest whatsoever in what you do. And the minute you're asked to become the person who is selling, we have all these associations with these bad experiences that we've seen. So that's what I think is troubles a lot of us when it comes to business development.
And now in the COVID times, I certainly haven't been at a networking event. I'm thinking an online one and a real one for like over a year. The lockdown has only just opened up, and over that Easter weekend, we met two other families in a park, and I felt very socially awkward, like trying to make those rusty social conversation muscles moving. And that was a very strange experience, but this is what happens to all of us.
100%. It's the reality is that social connection, social interaction, business development, which is purely building relationships and social interaction, it's a muscle. And when we don't practice it, we really struggle with starting to build it again. Ask many a partner I know from when I was in private practice, is that lots of partners, they have this beautiful client book that they are very proud of and that keeps bringing in more and more work. But, you know, COVID, I'm sure, was a prime example for many, is that the work stopped for some, certainly for certain departments. And then what? You know, go out in business development now that you've not practiced for 20 years because you've been really comfortable and sitting, not on your laurels, but sitting with a really comfortable book of business behind you. It's scary going out and doing it again.
So looking back, so what we discussed is there are some voices in how we feel about ourselves in that business development situation, because either we haven't practiced, lost this muscle, or we saw a bad example of a business development situation. Another thing is understanding the place of business development, how this fits your company, but also how this fits your personal career development.
Just as you said it, and what we've looked back on, we have been very much focused on ourselves. How do we feel in this situation? What are people going to think about us? What if we sound stupid? What if we say something wrong? What? The pressure is always all inward and it's all on us. Whereas business development is actually about looking outwards. It's got, and I mean this in the kindest way possible, it's got nothing to do with you. No one really cares about you in this scenario. You as lawyers, as coaches and lawyers, we've got a service that is a really important service that is required by many people out there. Lots of people offer it. Lots of people do the same thing as we do. But we're unique in so many different ways to everybody else. We offer different things. You know, you could go and sell and sell and sell, but what really creates these business relationships is trust in each other. It's building the relationship. It's actually taking an interest in that person, in their business, what they do. So business development isn't about how to sell a product to somebody. It's about how you can really benefit them over the long term so that they actually feel comfortable interacting with you and coming to you when there is a problem. So for me, and I say this from when I was a partner at one of the big international law firms, was that going out and telling people about me, about my history, about my journey, about my experiences, without that hard sell of, so do you want me as your lawyer, worked way better because they understood that I understood their world. I understood what terminology, what they needed from a business perspective, never mind just from a legal perspective. I really did understand what they were going through and what they were experiencing. And that created a foundation of a relationship that was so much more important for that ultimate sales pitch at a later stage, that they already trusted me before I actually pitched.
This reminds me of how we easily share with other people the resources that we have that we think are really useful. Oh, have a look at this website. Oh, have a look at this blog. Oh, I've bought this thing and it was super helpful. Try it out. And we feel it's very normal. We're feeling like we're actually helping them and that if they get this thing, it might help them too. But we have a harder time saying this about ourselves of like, look, I've created this thing. I worked hard. It might help you. Have a look.
Absolutely. I still to this day find it much easier to refer somebody else's amazing blog article than I would mine. I think there's definitely an underlying saboteur that sits there telling us that we shouldn't be promoting our own stuff. That's not very, what's the word? Very humble. Humble. It's not very humble. I think there's old rhetorics that are going on in our brains that need to be quietened because they really aren't serving us. And they're actually telling us quite a lot of lies rather than the truth.
And the voices that we hear in our head, sometimes it feels that there is only just one voice and this voice is right. But what actually is true is that we are not the voices in our heads. Those are just thoughts.
And I think that probably leads us into a really good hypothesis for today's experiment. So as you've just perfectly analysed what we've talked about, we've talked about mindset, we've talked about the saboteurs, we've talked about the negative voices that come up, we've talked about internalising everybody thinking about me, 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 me when we're business developing rather than looking outwards and serving. So I think the hypothesis for today should be business development is a muscle. You have to practice it to build it. You have to use it to build it. And so by changing our mindset and practicing business development will feel more natural and reduce the stress.
And by changing my mindset, what we mean is changing focus from selling to helping other people and being curious about other people. Because when you're curious, you naturally want to be helpful because you understand their concerns better.
Yes. So should we just finesse that hypothesis a little bit more then?
Let's do that.
By changing mindset, which is changing focus from selling to helping, selling to serving, people need to know about us. That's what's really important. We will build the business development muscle and business development will feel more natural and therefore reduce stress.
I like that. So what will be our experiment then?
I think that we need to start by identifying what makes us feel so stressed about business development.
It can be, do we need more understanding about how business development affects our careers, what roles it plays in our career development and in our company? Or it can be around the voices and the self-sabotaging beliefs that we tell ourselves.
Yes. And I also think that it's important to, when we identify those sabotaging voices, and a lot of that is, I'm not good enough, I'm not clever enough, I'm not experienced enough. The reality is those are likely to be there. Let's put this on its head a little bit and look at, well, okay, those might be thoughts that you think, but what makes you unique? What are your unique qualities? What have you got that helps you to differentiate yourself from other people? And you do. We all have different qualities. We have all got different experiences. I had a long argument with somebody about the fact that, uniqueness, you can't be unique. And I'm like, everybody's unique. Nobody has the same life. So let's just utilize our experiences in a positive way.
Yes, truly. In all the services, it is as much about your professional skills, but even more so about this connection that you have on your human level.
100%. Yeah. So let's just summarize our experiment then.
So the first step is to identify what's going on and what do you think are the blockages to you acing that business development, whether you need some more information or training or there are some self-limiting thoughts. The second one is to, either get those training or to get more information, ask around, and also to critically assess those thoughts about yourself and turn them around, pivot them to see what unique points you have as a person and as a professional. And the third step is to start practicing. And this is the hardest part. The best way to ease yourself into is to start practicing with people you feel comfortable with, probably even with your colleagues, if you can find a business development buddy. It is only through practice that you will polish that pitch. We all need a pitch of how to present ourselves, but also to relax in the situation and really become this curious, helpful person who other people will remember.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. What I think we will do is put a worksheet into the episode notes below and on Buzzsprout as well, so that you can download something that will just keep those questions at the forefront of your mind whilst we're doing this exercise. It does help, and get as much down as you can on paper, because getting it out is the best way to overcoming it. And practice, practice, practice.
That's it for this week's episode of the Lawyer Life Experiment podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. It was presented to you by Anya Smirnova and Frida Levitsky. Find our information and contacts in the podcast note. We love to hear your views on this podcast. Please reach out to us or use the link in the show notes to leave us a review. You can also subscribe and like and tell your friends about it. And have fun experimenting!